Good evening, good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned in to Radiance by Design. Radiance by Design is all about you and all about me and how we can radiate consciously and create, our subject tonight, which is called community. We've been talking about oneness, which is a very big topic in so many different ways these days, whether you're talking about ancient Hindu texts like the Bhagavad Gita, or whether you're talking about the autobiography of a yogi, which is old, or whether you're talking about oneness blessings, which are a big thing, and the Diksha, which is a very big thing coming from India over the last, 10 years or maybe longer. And it's kind of emanating more and more as these incredible political things are going on. We've heard of so many divisive political doodah that's going on, including the murder or the assassination of bin Laden. I've heard full spectrum responses to that, very vengeful, and other ones very compassionate, and in the words of Martin Luther King, which I will only paraphrase because I'm not very good at sticking to an actual quote. But he basically said, you don't ever cheer when someone is killed like that. You just turn and pray and lift their the things we didn't like about them and lift the freedom for their soul to move beyond it. I don't think I'm saying it quite right, but I think I've got the intent quite right. So, and the reason for all of this talk tonight is to remind us that we are one. You and I are of the same species. We are one, no matter whether you're a Republican and I'm a Democrat, or the other way around, left, right, center, up, down. Greedy, selfish. Greed is really the only, the other end of a continuum called generosity, right? It's just a way to use material things. We're all one, and sometimes the life experiences we have convince our identity that I'm different than you, I'm better than you, I'm worse than you, I'm stronger than you, I'm weaker than you, and doodly-doo. And a lot of people are talking about how humanity is facing kind of the melting or neutralization of duality at this time. This is a planet of dualities, like I said, right and wrong, big and strong, small and weak, greedy or generous, or generous is dangerous because the greedies will take you over. All this stuff that is very, very divisive on this planet. And there's a rising tide, and I'm a good intuitive, and I bet a bunch of you are as well. There is a rising tide on this planet of people feeling, seeing, and knowing that you are me and I am you, and we are all part of the same fabric which we can relate to in the collective. That's the common pool of thoughts and feelings that we share, only that sometimes is full of a bunch of texture that we might not want to claim. Still, it's ours, right? And then way down deep, and I've been talking about Lynn McTaggart, for example, who's done wonderful research on the bond we all share and how we move in unison at a very deep level. There's so many destroying economic and political things going on, and there's so many in the middle of all that, there's so many new sprouts and absolute rising of unity coming up. And some of the cases of that, we keep hearing, what is the solution to, for example, the economic chicanery or swindling that's been going on, and the number of beings that are becoming multi-billionaires while many, many people have their homes literally stripped away from them, that sort of thing. And we know, you and I know, that a lot of it has to do with our empowering ourselves to create our reality from a very deep, even from a level that doesn't include karma and so on. But my point of saying all that is not to get negative, but is to say, okay, there's a lot of hoo-ha going on out there, ladies and gentlemen, and you know it and I know it. But what's going to happen when the planet is too trashed? Well, you know what? I believe it won't be, because I believe when I look out there, like look at the internet, look at how people are waking each other up, look how people are connecting with each other. It's ultimately a kind of a oneness, isn't it? It's a very instantaneous connection, one with the other. And there are a lot of people on this planet putting their heads together and growing community little communities, possibly growing community concerns, whether they're little businesses or consciousness in business that is even imposing itself on corporate levels, people who are growing their own food so that they don't have to do the Monsanto engineered seed kind of thing. There's a lot of unities, people making their own movies and their own TV and their own radio. There's BBS, for example, which is a place where you can hear, it's not marketed news. It's the news that sometimes you might not agree with some of the shows that are on, but people are coming on with intention, coming on with their own perspective and pouring it out there. I like to think of being in BBS Radio, for example, as sending streams of consciousness out into the collective. And Radiance by Design is a call-in show, so you're connecting with me and with the other listeners and becoming part of a community that is transforming, that is growing into its self-empowerment, that has grown into mutual love, mutual expression, mutual acceptance, and so on. And it's really... to me, it's a very vital, it's not the only one, I understand that, but these kinds of taking media into our own hearts and presenting it out are a really wonderful tool for bringing us more and more into union, more and more into the unity of self, more into that bonding that we all seek, everybody seeks it. With Lynn McTaggart's research, she was talking about when people are not belonging, they just don't really feel that, let me see, how can I put this? In her research, in her new book is called The Bond, it's really worth reading. But anyway, in her research, it showed that people who don't belong probably want to die. You know, it's really, it's part of our human nature to be a part of, you know, no man is an island. Remember there was an old group called Fire Sign Theater, and I remember there was a joke, no man is an island. He said, no, he's a peninsula. And that's funny, but it isn't really funny, is it? Because we are in need of being bonded one with the other. So back into our oneness. The oneness, I want to say two things, and then we'll do our meditation. Oneness, my guides were saying just before we started this show, is like when you are in community consciousness or oneness, if you connect, say you can do this, especially when we do our meditation coming up, if you can connect to the universal fields, to the higher, we call it the great central sun, or your own universal connections, because we all have those. We've been around galaxies for quite a while, haven't we? And you drop it through your body and you connect with the earth. And you pay attention to what your natural resonance is. And a lot of that means clearing reactive and defensive resonances, all kinds of defenses that we feel in the form of tensions, and drop in there and recognize that you're the only one in the universe with your particular vibrational print. When you get into that oneness of self, in a certain way, you know, where it's really purifying. It probably isn't purified yet because that might take us eons, but the purifying process. Then when you're also connecting with others, you're connecting in a community which is extremely empowering one for the other. People pick up speed. People feel what brought forward. People feel empowered by being in your presence. They take some and they pass it on. So remember, we start off being one in the sense of being one with the earth and one with the universe and one with our real self, and we connect with others that way. And you know, you can sort of see how community itself develops in the third dimension. I don't need to really go far into that, whether it's in sustainability, whether it's Radiance by Design community, whether it's around the world, internet communities based on various subjects and so on. It doesn't matter, does it? It's just that consciousness of belonging. And the more purely you are your real self, the more you contribute to that kind of community bonding and the more evolutionary it is for all of us. And I don't believe we need to be fractured or disempowered by the few. I believe that we have the ability to kind of like the Egyptians did. I think we have the ability to amass our energy in such a way as to literally rise above the dog-eat-dog stuff that we've all been taught has to go on and on. We don't have to do it that way, ladies and gentlemen. We can really find that beautiful golden nugget of self and let it pulse and beat the way it does and connect with others that way. So I hope that you're feeling a little of this in some of the shows that you listen to on BBS and other stations, and I'm so glad you've tuned in. So let's amp up our own community sense and do our sacred geometric meditation. Big breath. Big breath. Let's call in above our heads a golden ball, a beautiful golden ball, and below our spines, above your head about 2 miles below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball, and drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball. Now pay attention to this part. Some of you asked me about this, and this is, I don't want you to forget this part. Drop your filament, gold filament of light through your spine from the upper golden ball to the lower. Excellent job. Can you feel that? I always get a real buzz when I bring that through. I remember that's like a stanchion on a bus. In the old days, we used to stand up on the bus and you hang on to a pole. It's like a pole that keeps you stabilized in a universe of everything moving. Now you drop a four-sided pyramid from the upper golden ball to about waist height, about 20, 30 feet away from your body. And then upside down, a pyramid whose base matches. And its point sticks into the lower golden ball. So you've got the upright pyramid and the upside-down pyramid. And when they're hitched together, they make an octahedron, an eight-sided structure. Good. And inside of that, you do your crystal ball. And a crystal ball has a very feminine, kind of a soft, rolling energy to it. It's a purifying womb, isn't it? And inside of that, you're in a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David. And in that, you're going to start spinning and spinning and spinning. Oh, my, you're going to spin and spin and spin. You're going to see in front of you a magical screen. And on that screen, the first movie you put up there, and this is, you're the filmmaker right now, and I want you to feel your role in these films, okay? Because the more you feel them, the greater the manifestation, right? And the more you help yourself. So in the first picture, you're being what you want to become. That's it. And I always want to become multidimensional and come from the heart. What do you want? You don't have to do what I want to do, but I'm sharing that full. And then when you really can feel that you're doing that in your picture, in your movie, wrap it in light, and we do the next movie. And in that movie, you're creating something. What is it you want to create? It can be home and family. It can be a movie. It can be a book. It can be a house. It can be traveling. It can be whatever you want. Let's see yourself creating the project of your dreams. Oh, boy, and all the pieces come together, and the resources, and it works, and it's successful. And you dust your hands together, so pleased. And then you see all the resources coming in to maintain this beautiful project. And just feel it. Just feel yourself maintaining this project. And now wrap it in light. That's right. And now we move into the next one, which is the Galactic Healing Center. And in this one, we bring in our magical, unseen healing team, and we have them circle around this healing table. And the first person who comes in to lay on this table is, ta-da, you, or in my case, me. So you lay on the table, and you ask for a little help. What is it that you need help with right now? What kind of healing do you need? Could be something as simple as confidence, or maybe you broke your leg. Doesn't matter what it is. Or maybe psychologically you're feeling a little torqued or else. It doesn't matter. You ask for what you need, and sometimes they'll tell you that you need a little help on something you haven't thought about. And now watch them working around you. Watch them working. And what happens in your body? Can you feel anything? How do they work on you? Good. Now, we all know the belly houses the subconscious. For me, they're pulling things out of my belly area energetically. I don't know what it's about, but I'm grateful because that's the part of us that's like a huge vault of what happened before. That's right. And when you really feel that there's been vibrational action going on, wrap it all in light so it can continue and move that section over to the side. And we have another healing team. It replicates itself around a fresh table. And bring in somebody who needs help. This person came in as a man, and he's not feeling very well, and he hasn't been for a while. Basically, he's got a flu cold, but he's also in a state of tremendous transition and transformation. And so the healers are standing around him. And it's interesting because I'm not telling them what to do. I'm asking them for some guidance for this fellow. And what they're doing is pulling things out of his brain. Yeah. Now, it's not his IQ. I trust that. There you are. And they're pulling things out of his chest. That's right. And rearranging his spine somehow. That's right. Excellent. And when we feel that they're doing pretty well with him, we'll wrap that in light. And let's set up another table and replicate the team. Now, who comes in? Okay, there's a woman who is frantic. Oh, my. Not even sure I know this one. She's absolutely frantic. She doesn't know where she's going, what she's doing. She's getting older. And her body is a little bit difficult for her, although she's strong, but she's single and she's afraid to keep going the way she's going. She just doesn't know which way to turn. And it's funny, they're jumping toward her and they're soothing her shoulders and back, straightening out her spine and holding the brain. It seems like they're holding her head and penetrating the brain with some very high frequency energy to calm her down. There she is. I can feel it. Her whole body just went because she's going to make much better decisions and so on when she's calm rather than frightened. And the guides are saying this, that she is going to be helped along the way, so not to worry. Wrap her in light, soothe her, calm her, and help her find the inspiration which wraps us all at any given time. So let's wrap her in light, move it to the side. And now on the political level, let's open this to the team. And I always bring in more realms with the political. Let's do a little bit on Japan and a little bit on the Gulf, the BP thing, and then a lot on the Middle East. Are you ready? And let's just see the guides wrap Japan with all their realms and realms and realms of consciousness support. And whenever we do this, I see that amazing energy going right underneath Japan, right to the ocean floor, and moving energy up and tucking in the edges of that incredible radioactivity. That's it. And let's see how they would work on these. There are many angels, many beings of different dimensions and different planetary structures working on the Japanese thing. Because it's not just one issue. It's something that's kind of a key to the way we're going to allow ourselves to evolve or participate, the community of man participating in our evolution over the next little while. Guides are saying that you're going to see strong evidence of this over the next year and a half. So we'll watch. That's not a negative comment. That's a very exciting comment. So we'll wrap that in light. and bring the Middle East into the table and have all the little countries in the Middle East and feel the presence of the higher and higher fields and frequencies all around these different countries and the skirmishes and the shifting dictatorships and the violence, soothing the violence. Oh my, I started to cry here. It's funny. I don't know if it's Syria. Anyway, there's going to be some really intense violence, and then it's going to be much easier. Things are going to start calming down over there. And over in Pakistan, where bin Laden was taken out, we're going to wrap that area. And those people in light. And remember, what we're looking for is the healing of those dualistic attitudes. It's me, not you. You, not me. We're trying to heal that so that we can feel ourselves in the oneness, in the community of man. In the name of love. In the name of Creator Spirit, not Destroyer Spirit, remember? Here we are. And there's apparently, I'm not much of a political student here. Bob is, I can ask him later, but apparently there's some very strong peace leadership sort of on the Gandhi line over in Pakistan. And I see two figures that are working with the people to embrace peace. And the other thing I want to see is that all around the world, webbed in such a scary way, is the economic controls, we'll put it that way, and I want to see that soften and melt it, incorporating a great deal more love and compassion and nurturing for the earth, for the atmosphere, and for the people on this planet. Yeah. And let's just amp up the feeling of love. That's it. And I didn't do the BP. We could go on all night, couldn't we? So let's go in there and take the BP hole in the ocean floor, for heaven's sakes, and actually have them flood that with love and protection and support. Remember, many, many tricky issues can be shifted in a very short period of time because we are that magical. Change the energy, change the reality. My goodness, we've done a great number of world travelers in that last few minutes, haven't we? Yeah, and feel that flooding of light and love and transformation into the Gulf oil thing. And then jump back up and close off your galactic healing center. Oh, no, I didn't do the... Let's call in the pink light in through the top of your head, down into your heart, and send light all over the planet from your heart. And it's a pinky, salmony colored light with a wonderful frequency to it. And send it with your mind's eye, your heart, and your intention to all the places on the planet that need our help, including our own homes, for heaven's sakes. And let's have it wrap round and round and round on this planet. Round and round on this planet. And it's so radiant that any of the beings in different dimensions can see how much love we have to give and share. And have it come back in, into your heart, flood your body, move up through the top of your head, and connect to the great central sun. And then we close off the galactic healing center. Pop into your spinning star tetrahedron. That's it. Spin and spin and spin, and then come back into the room with me. That's it. You're listening to BBS Radio. My name's Veronica Entwistle. This is Radiance by Design. And tonight we're talking about oneness and community consciousness and anything else you want to talk about. So if you would like to call in, I don't have the numbers real handy here, but I think you've got them right on the front of your computer. But first we're going to hear from Deb O'Connor about what's up on the planets. I'll give you the number, but call in, call in in about 10 minutes after she's talked for a little bit. 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. And I really don't know what's going on in the planets, but I hope Deb will call in soon because I forgot to remind Seth to call her. And she was telling me recently that with all the stuff that's going on in Aries, there's an awful lot of anger out there. It's sort of an interesting subject, isn't it, to think that we're collectively going through an emotional response to things. And I don't know what today's is, but I feel like that whole subject of oneness and the subject of community is a crucial subject, a crucial focus for us all. Because if, for example, we're tending to feel more anger or more chaos than we normally do, it's really important for us to remember that that we have a oneness goal here. So when we're angry, this is really important to move that out of our body mind. I mean, you really use it because anger and fear are related, right? We've got to really use it to clear out our body mind, not just stockpile it. And remember that we have a lot of grace to share with one another. So if somebody beside you is also angry, don't get into it with them. Back up and release the anger. So Deb, are you there? She's not there. All right, so what we're going to do is just carry on up the jungle. Have any of you had any experiences lately where you're feeling particularly angry or frustrated, where things aren't working, where you keep getting colds? There's a lot of people getting colds and flus, at least here in the Northwest. So they're going forward in a certain way, and yet it seems like technology is coming apart, or that, computer, at least my computer keeps crashing, and then I get angry, right? And I'm really trying to be, I'm trying to be grounded in my spiritual growth, but instead I'm grounded in my frustration. It's really funny. So what's been going on with your life? And also, it's funny, I'm looking out there and I'm going, there's a lot of you out there that have aches and pains right now. Have you noticed that? I'm thinking that when, for example, there's a lot of anger coming through the planetary impact or the astrological influences out there, then it would make sense because in your body mind, you hoard, we do for thousands of years maybe, we have tremendous feelings of either anger or sadness or victimization or so on that have been launched by past experiences, and they lodge in various parts of our body. So as soon as I, and Deb hadn't called in yet, so as soon as I looked out there, I could see a number of people, particularly an older lady, or she's maybe in her 50s or so, and her legs are inexplicably sore right now. She can't figure out what's wrong. And I'm thinking that she's got a precarious, let me see here. I can see, honey, that you've got a precariousness in your right to have anger. And what's interesting about it, what's happening, is that you're feeling the anger, but you're turning it around inside and saying to yourself that, somewhere deep down anyway, that if you present that anger, it's going to create huge problems for you, and you won't be able to be loved, you won't be able to share love, and you won't be supported. Oh, goody, you're on the air. But I just want to finish that one thought, and I'm going, it's not true. You'd be better to find a way to turn and just really even write the anger or express it. You don't have to throw meatballs at people. Okay, you're on the air, and I'm glad. Hello.
Hi, this is Dawn from North Carolina.
Hi, Dawn from North Carolina. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to question your appraisal of why people are getting colds and flu in the Northwest.
Okay, please.
And I'm a little concerned that you're in denial because, you know, I think the Fukushima problem is huge, and the EPA is no longer monitoring radiation, and, you know, people are putting their heads in the sand. And I think the reason a lot of people are having colds and flu is because they're suffering from radiation poisoning.
Thank you for that. And you know what? You're right. I have been not in denial. I've been putting my head in the sand, I think.
But, you know, I don't know if that's good. We're talking about Aries and people being angry, okay?
Right.
In fact, I read an interesting thing on the web, and it was saying that those wild hats at the royal wedding were partially the result of all the Aries influence, because that's the head.
Oh, fine.
And the Uranus is, like, wacky. I thought that was exceptional.
I love that. That's perfect. But you know what?
I'm
really grateful about what you said, because it flicked through my head today that I wasn't paying any attention to that Fukushima and my own health or our own health here. And so thank you for that.
Well, I mean, it's off the news, and, you know, the news has effectively buried it. But, you know, it's just a shame that Americans aren't aware enough to know what danger they're under right now.
You're right. Well, are you doing something about it? Of course, you're a long way away, huh?
I'm a long way, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much I can particularly do. I mean, mm-hmm. I try to eat well, and I'm doing the kelp drops and all of this. But the point is, on the northwest coast and the western part of the country especially, even though with the jet stream, when I look at it, it's really going to be all over the world. I mean, and our state actually got a big hit right after it happened, too. So it's really everywhere, so everybody really does need to be concerned. But I really think, especially the West Coast, I can't believe everybody's not buying air purifiers and, you know, getting water purifiers and all that. But I work with a company, and I've made calls, health practitioners and things, and everybody's, like, totally unconcerned. I mean, it's just, I'm just stunned by it. And I just called because that kind of attitude, bringing everything back on us, is being, in fact, I was reading something about depression the other day, and they were saying, you know, maybe it's not a chemical imbalance. Maybe it's because people's lives are out of whack. And I think we've got to stop. I think we've got to stop with this oogie boogie stuff and really look at circumstances for what they are and really try to interact in a practical way with our environment instead of just, you know, passing it all off as being some kind of chemical imbalance or it's all us. It's not us. A lot of times they're real problems and dangers out in the world, and we've got to recognize them and try to deal with them.
Thank you for that. I needed to hear this tonight, so I'm grateful. What kind of water purifiers do you sell, or is that what you do?
Well, the particular product is a reverse osmosis product, which it also gets out fluoride. But I'm not doing this as a sales pitch. I'm just doing it as an awareness issue, because after the Gulf of Mexico incident, I called health practitioners down around the Gulf of Mexico, and I thought everybody was just going to be jumping at the idea, and nobody cared. But then I was in New York at 911, and right after it happened, I went out to buy air purifiers because the air was so thick you could cut it with a knife. And when I went to the stores, people looked at me like, air purifiers? Yeah, I think there's some in the back. I mean, I thought there would be a run on air purifiers. So after that happened, I really lost faith in humanity.
Well, I think
especially New Yorkers, for New Yorkers not to know any better. I mean, that's just too bad.
But I wanted to say this, that it's very easy. We're all inundated by so much stuff these days, and you said it yourself, the Japan thing is not top of the news right now. And what happened? I'd be very interested to know what happened down in the Gulf of Mexico with all that went on down there. What happened with people's health?
What happened with people's health?
Or down back, with where the various areas that have been deeply polluted, what's happened with people's health? That would be a really good news bulletin, wouldn't it?
Well, no, it's not a matter of a news bulletin. I mean, that's one reason the Internet is so fabulous, because there are a lot of stations and there are a lot of people that are covering it rather well. And they are doing reports. But the problem is definitely there, and thousands of people are deathly ill down there, you know. I just think it's up to people that have a modicum of sense and a vehicle to do their homework. And Aries, once again, you know, taking a stand and being assertive, and not being passive and not just buying the lies that we're fed by the media. But it's, you know, it's like we have to save ourselves.
I agree with you entirely. So it's back to our kelp stuff and our,
And then maybe people need to get off their duffs and, you know, I don't know. I remember the 60s when people actually protested. And I guess this is the kind of point that I'm making. At one time, there was serious activism in the 60s. There was civil rights. There was anti-nuclear. I mean, people actually were very, very aware, and they were active, and they put their lives on the line for what they believed in.
And we never
stopped shutting. Then all the transcendental meditation came in, and everybody was grooving, and everybody just went into their, you know, metaphysical bliss, and it just cut it off at the knees. And we got to get out of the metaphysical bliss and get back onto the streets.
I agree with you. Except I don't quite see it like you do, but I do agree with you that we need to be more out there and making a fuss. So, and I agree with you that I was in denial speaking about Japan, and I thought about that today, but not as poignantly as I am right this very minute. So thank you. And we do have water purifiers and so on here.
Okay. Okay. And, well, listen, I love your show. I think you do a good job, but... you know, we all just have to stay on the ball.
You know what? I'm on your side. Thank you so much for waking me up.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye, honey. Well, that was really good information, everybody. And I need to look it up now and find out exactly what we should be taking. We've got some seaweed and stuff here, but I heard it wasn't strong enough, and then I didn't go to the next level. But we do have a lot of purifying stuff, but I think we'll look that up, eh, and find out what is going on with the streams of energy coming from that effluent. It's very frightening to me. There's a lot going on that I don't. I have not followed the political stuff in the media for a long time because I didn't want my brain to be twirled by it. But I have been lately. I've been trying to catch up because I think, like Dawn says, it's all hands on deck. We need to get out there. We need to be making a big racket out in the streets. I'm an old 60s kid, and we sure did a lot of it then. So call in with your questions. I'm looking at my lady who has a lot of aches and pains that I was talking about just before Dawn's call. And I'm going, you know, I wonder if she, because she feels like her bone structure is being thinned out by the anxieties and the insecurities and the not knowing what's up in her society at this time. And I think we all have a version of that going on. So what's going on with you? Call in. I'd love to talk to you. Let's see. I'm going to look around and see. When I'm talking about community, what I see when I'm looking out there right now, we have some listeners out there that don't know where to go or who to connect with. I'll give you the number again one more time. It's 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. And one of the things Dawn said that was really important to me is that a lot of us should be talking about connecting with each other, because I keep seeing people in ragtag states out there where you're going in this direction, but you're always alone, or you've left what was the fabric of your childhood life or something, and you're always alone. And that is very, very hard on us as a species. And we have to find our community. And a lot of times these days, the fastest route, oh, goody, you're on the air, I'll just finish this thought. The fastest route to community is through the Internet, isn't it? And we can find all kinds of people to connect with. So you are on the air, and you're connecting with me, and we're connecting with everyone else who's listening. So welcome.
Hi, Veronica. It's Deb.
Hey, Deb. I'm so glad you got here. Did you have phone trouble?
Hi. No, did you? I had a guest here, and I kept trying to get her to go home and telling her I had a date with you. And anyway, I finally got her out the door, and I got to hear a part of what Dawn was saying. I wish I'd been able to hear the whole thing.
Well, she's absolutely right, isn't she?
Yeah, I think where I come from, I didn't hear all of what she said. I heard just the very end, and I'm an old 60s person, too, and I think the place where the only thing that I heard that I disagreed with is that we have to get rid of all this metaphysical stuff, and I think we have to do both. And that the whole point of Uranus isn't to teach us how to be wacky, but it's how to teach us how to have a new vision and a new way to be active, proactive. I totally agree with her.
Well,
we
what you probably didn't hear, what you probably didn't hear me say is when I was talking about maybe you were coming on, I was saying, you were telling me that the way Aries has been moving through the skies has made a lot of people angry. and that there's
right.
something useful about the anger, but we needed to learn to release it in a way that wasn't divisive, but that could build community
yeah.
or something. That's kind of where I was
headed. Yeah, and I agree with you on that. And listening to Dawn, hello, Dawn, I'm thinking, and she's angry. But anger is energy moving. There's nothing wrong with anger. We were angry
right.
in the 60s, and we're still angry.
Right on.
And so what I think a lot of this Aries energy is doing is reminding us that we are absolutely angry,
mm-hmm.
and that, again, we feel like there has been too much violence, all that Aries stuff. And the thing is, one of the things I wanted to... Do you have anything in particular you want to talk about? Because there was something I kind of wanted to mention, but I don't need to...
I'm happy for you to talk about whatever astrological or otherwise you want to talk about.
Well, it has to do, it's almost like a follow-up to Dawn and you and the response. It's the murder of Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I saw this unfolding, and I don't have a TV, but I do have a computer, and I just happened to have it on a live TBS, just, yeah. And my first response to all this, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who felt this way, was just a deep, immediate sadness and a sense of having to somehow process what I was seeing and hearing through the filters of the way I understand the people I love and my country to be. And it felt to me, and it still feels to me, like a huge confusion between which part of myself I'm coming from. The part of myself, the old part of myself that is still angry about what happened in New York, but that part of myself is also angry about what the United States has done to countries all over the world. And then the other part of myself was really deeply sad, was the part that said, and I think this is what Uranus is trying to teach us, haven't we figured out another way? Isn't there some other way mm-hmm. other than, you know, the sort of midline Aries vengeance? So I'm with Dawn. I think we need to get out on the streets, and that's what all this Aries energy is about. But I almost wonder, because when bin Laden was killed, the planet Mars, which ruled Aries, was in Aries, is in Aries, exactly conjunct Jupiter, which just sort of enlarges our understanding of everything. And all of this energy is still squaring Pluto, which is clandestine and does things undercover. But it also gets to what we're really afraid of. And if that sounded like a whole big mishmash of thinking, I'm sorry. But what I'm trying to say is we're trying to get at what we're still afraid of. And Aries is trying to lead us there by showing us what we're angry about and how we might, like you said, figure out what to do with that anger in terms of activism now. We're not in the 60s anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's shifted, but we're still dealing with some of the same things, only now on a more intense and even more dangerous level.
Yeah.
So Uranus says, "What are you going to do? You have to find a new way to do this." And I think that part of it is metaphysical, that we if we get too attached to the anger and to the violence that's all around us, then we can't operate clearly to figure out how to re-envision this.
Yeah, because the whole thing with bin Laden is my first thought is it is so hard to know where the enemy begins and ends because
exactly.
it's so rife with it right now, whether you're looking at Gulf oil. I mean, I don't want to go into that whole litany, but
right.
it's really important, like you say. I mean, I agree with you. We need to be looking at the release of violence as a solution, and we need to get to something more constructive and more spiritually aligned with the oneness truth, the community truth.
And another piece of the Mars and Aries is that, yes, 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 and yes. Another piece of the Mars and Aries is it always shows us the shadow of courage, which is feeling like we're victims. So if we continue to say, okay, it's them against us, then we are the victim, and they are the persecutor. And
mm-hmm.
so I think part of this desire to take action has to be taking action in a way that we don't feel victimized. And, you know, it's almost like, oh, my God, all these planets in Aries for this last almost 2 months, and now the moon came back into Aries this weekend when all this was coming down. The moon comes back into Aries and says, here's another way for you to look at this. Look at all the concepts of Aries, violence, anger, impatience, and courage, in
and
action.
It can be selfish.
So how do you want to do this?
And it can be selfish, Deb.
It can be. And the thing I kept thinking was, when you just said, how did you put that there? Who knows where? Who knows where? What did you say? That the terrorism or the war, yeah, is everywhere. And
where the evil begins.
Yeah, and aren't we basically just turning right around? It's like everything that we stand for, I didn't think it was an eye for an eye. Mm-hmm. But I don't think
a scapegoat doesn't work anymore, and killing doesn't work anymore, you know, if it ever did, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I still stand with Uranus as a planet that is wanting us to create, you know, Uranus was coupled up with Pluto in the 60s. That was, mm-hmm, a powerful pairing. Now it's squaring Pluto. So it's like we're doing that same dance, but we're doing it in a different ballroom. We're doing it with a completely different energy and a completely different set of players. So now with the square, it's not as easy as when they were coupled up and they were conjunct in the 60s. And they were just in league. They were like shoulder to shoulder going forward. The revolutionary and the one that got way down underneath things and, you know, did the Pentagon Papers and brought up all sorts of stuff. Now they're squaring each other, and it's like Uranus is saying, I know I sound like a broken record. What are you still afraid of? What is still blocking you emotionally that you can't get out there with this vision and take it forward? You know, stop killing. That, mm-hmm, isn't it, you guys.
But I think we're mesmerized. As Dawn was saying, people forget what's really going on. And I think it's because we're sort of mesmerized by being inundated by information, and we're sort of flummoxed. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we do? Where do we begin to act? I don't know. It's all such a huge...
But that's where the metaphysics comes in, doesn't it?
Yes.
A big part of the action is internal, and it is true that every thought that goes through our brain, I believe this with all my heart, and every time there's an act of loving kindness, is that metaphysics? I don't know. It just feels to me like it's the answer. Mm-hmm. Everything is rippling out there.
Mm-hmm. Imposing itself on the collective consciousness of our species, right?
Mm-hmm. There are all different kinds of ways to create movement, and I agree that some of it is taking to the streets. A lot of it is that. But that if we take to the streets in the way we used to, we're going to continue to stay where we are. But if we take to the streets in a way that Gandhi did or Martin Luther King did, mm-hmm, and with some new way of understanding where we're going, but you know what I think, too,
like they're doing in Egypt, like they did in Egypt, you know?
Like they did in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I also agree with Dawn in a way that she nailed me, because I haven't been paying attention as I started off to do with the radiation thing. So there's that whole attention to metaphysics and the oneness and being in truth of self and healing and releasing anger, but there's also paying attention to where we are on the planet as well. That's kind of an interesting combination.
Well, and that's what we were talking about last week when we were talking about Taurus and the new moon, and I kept saying we aren't just on the Earth, we're of the Earth, which means we're in a body. I'm not saying we shouldn't pay really close. I agree with her, too, completely. We're in a body. It's our tool, and we better take care of it so that we can use it to do the things that we need to do here now.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, and it's interesting that the sun is now in Taurus, and the new moon happened this weekend on top of everything else. And
what's the new moon's impact on our consciousness at this time?
Well, it's always a time to renew, to start whatever the energy is. This is Taurus energy, to start, mm-hmm, it in a new way. And you remember we were talking last week about Taurus being the sign the Buddha was born under, and he basically taught peace, you know, mm-hmm, deep breath, inner peace. And so I think for me,
and
that's
compassion,
part of the metaphysics.
And detachment, right?
And compassion and detachment. And it's a very tricky wicket to figure out how to detach without and still act.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I
a
agree.
Tricky one, I think. Yeah.
Well, I liked what you said a few minutes ago, which is that when we go, if we hit the streets, for example, we would go with our hearts our hearts and our intentions and our community consciousness, not in a them against us kind of thing, rising in a voice,
okay.
Didn't we?
Yeah. I think that's the critical piece right there, because Uranus is a planet that is not just about revolution and vision. It's about building healthy community, really mm-hmm. healthy community, each person individuated and clear about, you know, who we are, what we are.
And that's
and
Uranus'
I don't know
gift?
That's Uranus. Uranus's mm-hmm. job is to help us to be individuated so that we can create a vision or a revolution, same thing kind of, a revolution of ideas that comes from, it creates collective health, and it comes from a healthy collective. So it's almost like the snake eating its tail. We almost have to be one to do the other. But I think that what the difference in us from when we were acting in the 60s and now is that we know that we were starting to figure out, oh, my God, we don't even know who we are in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And now we've come a long, long way, and a lot of us are saying, yeah, we've started to really figure out what we are and what we want in community. We don't just know that we want community. We're starting to know what we want.
We want to be authentic as well. How many people do you hear say, I want to do the work that I'm meant to do. I want to be in my purpose. I want to.
Right.
And we don't mind working hard. It's just let's do something meaningful. And I have to say goodbye, but I'm so grateful that you called in and that even though you were late, you were so much a rich contributor and you have me thinking and reeling around here.
Thank you. I just love your show so much. And thank you, Dawn. I'm going to go back into the archives so I can listen to everything she had to say.
Yeah.
I almost worried about calling in because I didn't get to hear everything she had to say. And it came in on the tail end of it, but it was great.
Oh, it doesn't matter
You're
because
great.
You've generated more and more thought to it. And I don't know how many times a week I say, we really need to get out there. We need to all be on the streets. So maybe we're calling for a peaceful revolution.
I hope so.
I saw a funny thing online the other day. It was on Facebook. And somebody had put out a picture. It looked like Che Guevara, and it was, you know how there was supposed to be the rising of the feminine, and it said, a mom-olution. I loved it.
I love
people,
it.
People were ordering T-shirts. Anyway, thank you so much for calling in, and much
thank
love to you,
you
and to the
much
rest of the
to
community,
you.
Too.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. So that was a wonderful call from Deb O'Connor, and she's at Love Dog Design. com, deb@lovedogdesign.com. She does wonderful astrological readings, but she's also an artist and an editor and a whole bunch of very, very artistic Piscean things that'll, you know, you really should talk to her. She's great. Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle saying I really enjoyed the fervor of tonight's show. It's really an exciting time to be on the planet, and we have to believe that we have the power to transcend these diversities that are costing other people's lives and really try to find the truth of our collective. Now, my next show next week, Paradigm Shifters, is very exciting. It's Jack Hawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y, was on a few weeks back, I think 4 weeks back or something, or 3 weeks back, and he had rewritten the Bhagavad Gita, and it was called a Walkthrough for Westerners. And we talked a lot about the Gita, which was written 8,000 years ago and had this epic poem on how to live into your dharma and all that. We talked about that, and I really loved it. None of you have given me any feedback, so I don't know what that means, but let me know what you thought. But anyway, he and his wife, after the death of their oldest child as an adult child, began to go over to Sai Baba's ashram for 30 years. 6 months of the year, they went over and lived there. And lived in Sai Baba's presence and learned from him and so on. And I, in all the controversy over whether Sai Baba was good, bad, or indifferent, or whether he was this or that, I called Jack Hawley and I said, are you willing to talk about it? So we just did a pre-record yesterday, and it's going to be played Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful talk about what it's like to live in the vibrational level of one who calls himself an avatar. And even though we all question those people in certain positions, I think you'll find it a really inspiring discussion about Sai Baba, who passed just about a week ago, I think. Eh? I have much more respect for him now after doing some reading and research than I did before. And I didn't not have respect for him before. I didn't have any knowledge. Anyway, this is going to be all about Sai Baba. It's Jack Holly next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Please tune in. It's Paradigm Shifters. And now Jackie Salvitti in ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. As many of you who listen to her show regularly will note that she's not been very well. She's had a specific illness. But it looks like things are really turning and they're coming up with a more complete solution for her problems. So she's not on live tonight because she's in California being looked after, and we're glad for her. And we're rerunning her show from February on oneness, and we thought it was an appropriate connection. So remember, it's a rerun, and Jackie will be happy to be back with us next week, and I think she's going to be feeling a whole lot better, and are we glad about that. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying, I really love talking to you, and I feel like we are a community, even though I haven't actually met you in person and given you a big hug. I know we're all seeking and not struggling, what can I say, striving to create a greater and greater light that connects us all together. And I will follow Dawn's advice and get up to date on all the things I should be doing for the radiation doodah that's flowing around here, and still send prayers to Japan. And I do know that when we change, this is for you, Dawn, as well as for everybody else, when we change our energy, we can actually transcend an awful lot of things. I'm not stupid. I still take Dristan when I have a cold, for heaven's sakes, besides taking all my precious potions, natural potions. I'm not without grounding. But I do think changing the energy is really important. Loving each other is important. Compassion is important. Getting beyond our subversive and defensive ways is important. And, yeah, I'm listening to you, Dawn. I will do the work. All right, everybody, take a deep breath. And breathe love out to one another. Because that makes a difference too, doesn't it? Good night. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned to Jackie Salvitti's older show, February the 17th, on oneness. Much love. Good night. Oh, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I'd love some feedback on these shows. Sometimes you have no idea how important your feedback is. veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, or call me for a session. Love to chat with you. Good night.